Good morning. Man, what a blessing. What a blessing to see our dance team up on stage singing and just doing an amazing job for God. So I thank each of them for their hard work. Thank you, Casey. That was great. This morning, we're going to be in the book of Jonah. How many of us in here have ever tried to run away from God? I'll raise my hand. There's been times in my life where I've tried to run away from God. And this morning, we're going to read in the book of Jonah, chapter 1, the story of Jonah and how he tried to run away from God and what God was desiring for him to do. This morning, I have a few points that I'm going to make, and they're going to be questions. They're going to be questions to make you look at your spiritual walk, to look at your spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ. And this morning, as we go through these points, I want you to ask yourself, as we go through these, am I running away from God? Am I running away from what God is desiring to do in my life? A lot of us, when we get into difficult situations, when we get into conflictual issues, when we get into times of our lives where we don't feel comfortable, and we get disgruntled, and we get upset, and we get angry, a lot of the times, instead of allowing God to use those situations for His glory, allowing God to use those situations to build people up, to build relationships up, to build you up as a child of God, people run. And this morning, I'm going to ask you, are you running away from God? God's desire is not for you to run away from Him. And the thing is you can't run away from God. God created you. God is molding you and making you into what He desires for you to be. And whether or not you want to accept what God wants to do in your life, He can still transform you. He can still get a hold of you. He can still grab a hold of your hand and change you and make you into the child that He wants you to be. He is still extending the grace and the mercy that we see in the Old and the New Testament at this moment in time. He's not looking at our mistakes this morning, and He's not looking at us and saying, you're a mistake. He's looking at you, and He's saying, are you a child of God? And He's looking at you, and not only is He saying, are you a child of God, but He's looking at you and saying, I need you to get busy. I need you to quit looking at the environment around you. I need you to quit looking at the situations that you're being impacted by. And instead, look at me. Look at my eyes. Look at me and focus on me, just as Peter focused on Jesus as he was walking out into the water. God can do the same miracles that He performed when Jesus was walking and talking upon this earth today. Are you willing to allow God to do what He desires to do in your life today? It's time we stop looking at the situations that we're facing in our lives. And it's time that we stop having a pity party. And it's time that we get busy for God and let Him use those situations to do what He desires to do in us. So let's get busy, church. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Jonah, chapter 1. I'm going to ask everybody that can to please stand in honor of God's word. I'm going to read 17 verses here in Jonah, chapter 1. But I'm really going to focus on 3 or 4 verses this morning. I may come back next week. But as it says here in Jonah, chapter 1, the Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it because I have seen how wicked its people are. But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket and went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. But the Lord hurled a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to break the ship apart. Fearing for their lives, the desperate sailors shouted to their gods for help and threw the cargo overboard to lighten the ship. But all this time, Jonah was sound asleep down in the hold. So the captain went down after him. "How can you sleep at a time like this?" he shouted. "Get up and pray for your God. Maybe he will pay attention to us and spare our lives." Then the crew cast lots to see which of them had offended the gods and caused a terrible storm. When they did this, the lots identified Jonah as the culprit. "Why has this awful storm come down on us?" they demanded. "Who are you? What is your line of work? What country are you from? What is your nationality?" Jonah answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." Jonah answered, the sailors were terrified when they heard this, for he had already told them he was running away from the Lord. "Oh, why did you do it?" they groaned. And since this storm was getting worse all the time, they asked him, "What should we do to you to stop this storm?" "Throw me into the sea," Jonah said, "and it will become calm again. I know that this terrible storm is all my fault." Instead, the sailors rowed even harder to get the ship to the land. But the stormy sea was too violent for them, and they couldn't make it. Then they cried out to the Lord, Jonah's God. "Oh, Lord," they pleaded, "don't make us die for this man's sin, and don't hold us responsible for his death. Oh, Lord, you have sent this storm upon him for your own good reasons." Then the sailors picked Jonah up and threw him into the raging sea, and the storm stopped at once. The sailors were awestruck by the Lord's great power, and they offered him a sacrifice and vowed to serve him. Now the Lord had arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. You may be seated. Let us open in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this day. We just thank you so much for this opportunity that you've given us to come together in your house, to open up your word and to hear you speak. Father, I pray that you would push me aside. I pray that you would stand up here at this pulpit this morning and give us what you need us to hear. Father, I pray that not only would we listen to what it is that you have us for here to hear, but I pray that we would take your word and take action with it this week. Father, we love you and we praise you. It's in your precious son's name that I pray. Amen. The first point, the first statement, this isn't my first point. The first statement that I want to make this morning is we will never experience the moving of God as a church until we experience the movement of God personally. Are you experiencing God personally in your life this morning? Because you see, the church can't experience God unless we as individuals, we as his children, have experienced God ourselves. So my first question to you this morning is, are you experiencing God in your life? Do you have that personal relationship with Christ that only Christ made available through the death and the resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ? Don't expect something from God within the church unless you have that personal relationship with God yourself. Instead of examining the spiritual condition of others this morning, look at the spiritual condition of yourself. As I stand up here this morning, I'm examining the spiritual condition of myself. I have no right to stand up here this morning and to judge the spiritual condition of others. So the first thing that we have to do in our relationship with Christ, the first thing that we have to do to determine whether or not we are avoiding the call that God is putting us to, We have to determine whether or not we actually have that personal relationship with Christ. As we examine the spiritual condition of ourselves, we need to determine if we are doing the following things in our lives. Because if we are doing the following things in our lives, and I'm getting ready to get into my points, if we are doing these following things in our lives, we are avoiding God. We are disobeying God. So the first point that I have to make is, are you ignoring God's word? In Jonah chapter 1, verse 1, as we just read, it said, the Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it, because I have seen how wicked its people are. The first thing that Jonah did right here was Jonah ignored God's command. Jonah ignored God's word. God said, get up and go. And Jonah said, no. This morning, in your relationship with Jesus Christ, as God may be calling you to something, are you sitting there in your seat this morning saying no to God? Are you sitting there this morning and saying, yes, God, I will follow you. I will pick up my cross. I will go day after day after day. The majority of Christians this morning are not picking up their cross and following him. Instead, they're crucifying others. This morning, we need to get up and do what God desires for us to do. We need to get up and fulfill our purpose. Our purpose here is not to crucify others. Our purpose here is to lift others up. Our purpose here is to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Is the church doing that this morning? Is the church proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ? Or is the church doing what Jonah was doing? God is speaking to you today in regards to certain areas of your spiritual life. There's no doubt this morning, right now, at this moment, God is speaking individually to each of you. And he's speaking in a way that he desires for you to listen to him. He's speaking in a way that he does not desire for you to ignore him. He wants you to listen. Are you listening to God this morning? We often choose to ignore God instead of listening to him. That's very much the case, just as many other people, many other characters in the Old and the New Testament, in their initial walk with God, they chose to ignore God. Now, I'm not going to get into where Jonah actually did what God desired for him to do this morning. I'm going to speak on the disobedience. You know, we often choose to ignore God. We don't like what God says to do. We don't like others commanding us to do things. Why don't we like others to command us to do things? It's because we're selfish. It's because we have our own wants and we have our own desires that we want to fulfill. Service to God isn't about fulfilling your own desires. It's not about fulfilling what you want to do. It's about getting busy for God and doing what God desires to do in your life. You have to get yourself out of the way. Jonah didn't like what God was commanding him to do. So due to the fact that he didn't like what God was commanding him to do, he chose to be disobedient. He chose to try to hide. And later on, we find he couldn't hide. And he spent 3 days in the belly of a fish, in the belly of a whale. You see, Jonah put himself into a storm that he didn't have to go. He didn't have to go through that storm, but he made a choice to go through that storm for his actions. This morning, we do the same thing. We make decisions in our lives where we don't want to listen to God. We don't want to rely on God. We want to rely on our own willpower. Are you relying on your own willpower? You can't hide from God. God will discover what you are doing, and God will reveal that. God will reveal the truth. He will pick up the deceit. He will pick up the hiding. He will pick up the sin, and it will be revealed one day. But why? Why do we do that? Why do we want to hide from God? Why do we want to be disobedient? Why do we put ourselves through these trials and these tribulations that we choose to go through? It's because we don't want to listen to God. It's because we don't want somebody commanding us to do something. Jonah didn't want God commanding him to do. He got up and he went in the opposite direction of where God was wanting him to go. We also don't love God's word as we should. God's word is an instruction manual. God's word tells us of how much God loves us. And it tells us ways. It gives us stories that apply to the situations that we are going through in our lives today. It's an instruction manual. You know, I've came to the realization, and I can speak for myself as a man, I don't like instruction manuals. They're useless. This instruction manual is not useless. This instruction manual is our future. It is our hope. It is the path to eternal life. So it's an instruction manual that we need to follow. But we, as God's children, we don't love God's word as we should. We should desire to read his word. We should desire to listen to his word. Do you realize how many Christians today don't want to take the time to pick up God's word and read it because they're so busy in other areas of their lives? Shame on you if that's the case. You need to put up those other things that may be going on in your life. You may need to put down the newspaper. You may need to put down the magazine. And you better start making time for God in your life. I went camping this week. It was a time of vacation. It was a time of rejuvenation for me. It was a time of one-on-one with God. You know, I was speaking with Brother Josh this week. Or I was speaking with somebody. It might not have been Brother Josh, but I was speaking with somebody, and they asked me the question, why do you like to go camping? And my response to them was, when I'm up there in the mountains by myself with my family, I don't have the noise that we have down here, and I can see God. I can feel God. I can feel like I'm so much closer to him. He's just as close to me down here, but sometimes I allow the distractions and I allow the noise to come in, and I can't filter it out. But up there, I can filter it out. And one of the things that I did this week was I spent time in his word, because there's some things that I'm going through in my life right now at this moment in time that I'm seeking his guidance on. You see, when something's going on in my life, I look to his word for the answer. Because the world's going to tell me something that God doesn't want me to do. Are you taking the time to love God's word? Are you taking the time to read it? But it's not just about reading it. You know, there's so many lesson plans out there that you can find on Bible apps. You can find them at Walmart. You can find them in Christian bookstores. How to read the Bible in 1 year. I don't care how long it takes me to read the Bible. I want to read the Bible and see what God is speaking to me and saying to me through it. It's more than reading it. It's studying it. It's praying. It's seeking God's guidance. Is that what you're doing in your life? That's how you love God's word. You pick it up. You read it. You study it. You pray for it. You pray for his direction. You got to cherish his word. He inspired men that went through a lot of trials and tribulations in their lives to write these books. He didn't do it just for the heck of it. He did it because he knew we were going to need it. Are you loving God's word? Are you picking up his word and reading it and pursuing God? Or are you going through the motions to say that you've read God's word? To me, that's what one of those Bible plans is. It says, read God's word in 1 year. That's what that is, going through the motions to simply say, I've read God's word. Don't go through the motions of simply reading God's word. God desires to speak to you through his word. He desires to talk to you. And he actually desires for you to listen to him. If you are ignoring God's word, that's a sign that you're running from him. And that's a sign that you need to come back to him. So the first point that I had to make, are you ignoring God's word? Second point that I want to make, or second question I'm going to ask you, are you hiding sins from your past? We can see that in Jonah chapter 1, verse 2, where it says to get up and go to the great city of Nineveh, announce my judgment against it because I have seen how wicked its people are. How many of us have ever committed a sin and tried to hide it under the rug, thinking that we could hide it from God? Anybody in here done that? I've done it. I've sinned and I've tried to hide it under the rug, saying, ain't nobody ever going to see this. Ain't nobody ever going to know about this. If you read God's word, it's clearly in his word that sins will be revealed. You're not going to be able to hide sin from God. Just as Jonah was here, we see through this Jonah chapter 1, we see a sin that Jonah actually committed. You see, Jonah was harboring bitterness. He was harboring anger against God. He had so much hate built up inside of him and built up inside against the Assyrians that he did not as feel as though God should extend mercy to the Assyrians. Do you see the church doing that today? I see that all over the church. The church looks at people and they say, look at the sin that you've committed in your life. You're not worthy of God's grace. You're not worthy of God's mercy. I don't see that anywhere in God's word. All that I see in God's word is that we are worthy of his mercy and that we are worthy of his grace. That's the only reason he sent his son Jesus to die for us. And that's for all men. Nineveh, it came to be the capital of the Assyrian Empire. And Nineveh was a bad place. If you look in the book of Nahum, chapter 3, Jonah doesn't have a whole lot to say about how bad this city of Nineveh was. And it doesn't have a whole lot to say about how bad the Assyrians were. But if you pick up God's word and you turn to Nahum chapter 3, it gives you details of how bad it was. And I'm just going to read verses 1 through 4 here in Nahum chapter 3. What sorrow awaits Nineveh, the city of murder and lies. She is crammed with wealth and is never without victims. Hear the crack of whips, the rumble of wheels, horses' hooves pound and chariots clatter wildly. See the flashing swords and glittering spears as the charioteers charge past. There are countless casualties, heaps of bodies, so many bodies that people stumble over them. All this because Nineveh, the beautiful and faithless city, mistress of deadly charms, enticed the nations with her beauty. She taught them all her magic, enchanting people everywhere. You see, what we just read here in the book of Nahum chapter 3 was Nineveh was guilty of evil plots against God. Nineveh was guilty of exploitation of the helpless. Nineveh was guilty of cruelty in war. Nineveh was guilty of idolatry, prostitution, and witchcraft. As I was reading, and it says, I was studying my sermon for today, I came across that the Ninevites, they would actually pull out the tongues of their captives. And they would actually skin their captives alive. These were mean people. They would actually pile the skulls of their captives outside the ruins as they were leaving lands in which they had conquered. Jonah had become known as the prophet that denounced the Assyrians among the Israelites. And you see, he was ashamed to go into Nineveh, and he was ashamed to preach about mercy and grace being made available because he was afraid the Israelites would look at him differently. Jonah was afraid that he would lose his credibility among the Israelites if he went back to Nineveh and preached the opportunity of mercy and grace. This hidden sin had become the reason that Jonah was using to rebel against God. In Numbers chapter 32, verse 23, it says, "But if you fail to keep your word, then you will have sinned against the Lord. And you may be sure that your sin will find you out." If you this morning are hanging on to a hidden sin, you can be sure that that sin will be revealed. If you are hanging on to a hidden sin this morning, as Jonah was hanging on and trying to hide a sin from his past, you're running away from God this morning. You're running away from what he desires to do in your life. The first thing that you have to do in your life, in that personal relationship with Christ, is you have to confess your sin. And as you walk with Christ along that walk, you confess your sin, because God can't stand to look at sin. But once you confess your sin, God's word tells us that that sin is erased due to the blood of Christ. So if you're hanging on to that hidden sin, this is a sign that you are running away from God, and you need to start running towards him this morning. Point number three, or question number three: are you neglecting the opportunities that God is giving you to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ? And that's there in Jonah chapter 1, verse 2 that we've already read. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh and announce his impending judgment. But God didn't want Jonah to stop about the announcement of impending judgment. God wanted Jonah to tell the Assyrians, "Hey, if you repent, there is a hope. I'm not going to wipe you out if you repent." Even as wicked as the people were, God was willing to forgive them. God was willing to offer that repentance. He was willing to offer that grace and that mercy, just as he is willing to offer that grace and mercy to you and I this morning. As God's children, we've been instructed to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ per the Great Commission. It tells us in Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20, Jesus speaking himself, "Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples," and here is Jesus speaking himself, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this: I am with you always, even to the end of the age." You see, the story of Jonah illustrates redemption that God is still doing in the world today. You see, number one, God equals love. God's love is available to anyone. He doesn't look at the mistakes that you've made in your past. He doesn't look at what you're going through today. He doesn't look at you running away from him. He looks at you running away from him this morning, and he's simply saying, stop. All I want to do is love you through what you're going through in your life. All that I am going to do is offer you grace and mercy. Why in the world, if God is willing to offer that grace and mercy, why do we want to run? Why do we want to put ourselves through the trials and tribulations that we are going to face as the result of disobedience? God is love. No matter how wicked or evil a person may be, God still wants to love them. God changes people. He's a chain breaker. He transforms your mind. He molds you and makes you into what he desires for you to be. And just because you've made mistakes in your life, just because you've drifted so far away from God in your life, doesn't mean you've drifted too far to God for God to use you, for God to change you, for God to make you and mold you into the child that he wants you to be. God wants to be a father. And he wants to hold you in his arms just like a daddy wants to hold his daughter or his son in arms when they're born. He wants to hold you that tight. He wants to love you unconditionally. He's not looking at you he's not looking at you today and saying, look at the disaster that you've made your life. He's looking at your life and he's saying, come to me. Come to me. We'll get through this together. I'll change you. I love you. Wouldn't you like to see more Christians today with that attitude? Wouldn't you like to see Christians today look at a sinner and say, it's okay. It's okay what you've done. We'll work through this. But instead, the church wants to cast them out. If God wants to love the sinner, I'm going to love the sinner. Are you going to love the sinner this morning? Or are you going to run away from the sinner? Last 6 months, we've had a lot of people run away from sinners. You really think that's what God desires for us to do as his kids? God doesn't desire for us to run away from the sinners. He desires for us to run to the sinners. Doesn't mean you have to like what the sinner did. But God calls us to love the sinner through it. Because in reality, we're all sinners. So let's start loving each other like God loves us. Let's stop casting the sinner out and start welcoming the sinner in. God is love. What does Nineveh represent? The Assyrians here represent the unconverted that desperately needed to know about both God's love and their impending judgment. That's what Nineveh represented here in Jonah chapter 1. The unrepented, the unconfessed sin. If nobody is willing to go and speak to the people in Nineveh, how are they going to hear about God? How are they going to hear about God's impending judgment? How are they going to hear about God's plan? How are they going to hear about God's mercy and his judgment? There's no way for them to hear about it if nobody is willing to step out and preach it. So we have to be willing to step out to the unconverted. We have to be willing to step out to the sinner. We have to be willing to step out and reach out our hand and say, grab a hold of it. I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to help you get right in your relationship with God. God wants to use us just like he wanted to use Jonah. What does Jonah represent here in Jonah chapter 1? Jonah represents the one sent to share God's love. He was happy to speak for God to the good people. But Jonah refused to speak to people that needed to hear God's message the most. We need some people. We need some Christians. We need some of God's children who are brave enough to go out and go into the jails. Go into those places where there's addictions. Go into the most deadly parts of the world. We need Christians, we need missionaries to go into China where Christianity is forbidden. And to all these other countries where Christianity is forbidden, North Korea. And you see, we have missionaries that have actually stepped up. And we have missionaries in those countries today because they had courage to follow through with what God put on their heart. God wanted to do that same thing through Jonah. Initially, Jonah didn't want to follow through with it. Jonah was disobedient at first. If you're feeling indifferent towards the lost, then you're running away from God. And you need to start running back to God. Once you were lost. Once each of us was lost. Thank God there were people that had the courage to answer the calling to God. I thank God that Pastor Joseph Friend at First Baptist Church in Sevierville had the courage when I was 9 years old to proclaim the message of God. Because one day God spoke to me through that message. We can't neglect the opportunities that God is giving us to proclaim the good news. Question number 4. Are you deliberately disobeying God? Jonah was deliberately disobeying God because of fear, selfishness, pride. All of those things were reasons that Jonah disobeyed God. And that can be seen in verse 3. We tend to think it's acceptable for us to negotiate with God and his commands. I don't know if each of you know this, but in our relationship with God, when God calls us to do things, our God is not a God of negotiation. When God commands us to do something, he commands us to go forward and do what he is asking us to do. He's not saying, okay, come over to the negotiating table. We'll work out a deal. No, that's not the God that we serve. The God that we serve says, Dennis Hatcher, go and do this, and I better go and do it. I can't look at God when God puts a calling on my life and say, God, if you will do this in my life, I'll accept that. That's trying to bargain. That's trying to negotiate with God. And that's not what God desires for us to do. That's not the way God works in our lives. If God lays a calling on your heart, the calling is the calling. There's not room for negotiation. If you feel the need to negotiate with God in regards to his commands, you're being just as disobedient to God as Jonah was being disobedient. God did not negotiate with Moses. He didn't negotiate with Abraham. He didn't negotiate with David. And he does not intend to negotiate with us today in his commands. If you testify that you believe in God and then you use the word however or but, you need to question whether or not you're saved. If you testify to God, it better be, thank you, God. Not thank you, God, but. Or thank you, God, however. You know, when I think of the word but or however, I think of an exemption. I think of negotiation. I think of a deal. It's trying to add something. It's trying to add something to what you're trying to do. There is no however or but in serving God. Question number 5. Are you running from your calling from God? Are you running from your calling with God? Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction. There's 3 important phases in this verse that I want you to see. The first phrase that I want to elaborate on is to move in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord, which is verse 2. It is irresponsible for anyone to run away from their God-given assignment. As a Christian, we are in one of the 3 following categories when it comes to our following. I'm going to go through these quick. Number 1, we have never started our calling. Number 2, we started our calling, but we quit. And number 3, we are going strong in our calling. In your calling with God, where are you at? Have you ever started the calling that he has put on your life? Have you started the calling but decided to quit because things got tough? In the church today, I've seen a lot of that. I've seen a lot of people quit because things got tough. I've seen a lot of people in the last 6 months of my life give up everything that God was doing in their lives because they didn't like what was going on. They didn't allow God to fight the battle that it was God's battle to begin with. When God calls you to do something, he does not call you to quit. I've heard it said multiple times to me in the last 6 months, God has called me to step away from this church, but I'm not going to a new church. God calls us to fellowship with each other. God calls us to join together amongst the church and to be a part of a fellowship. He calls us to serve him, and part of serving him is in church. It breaks my heart that I've seen people quit because things got tough. When you look at Jesus, did he quit because things got tough? He was getting ready to be crucified. Did he look at his father and say, I'm not doing this, Father? No, he looked at his father and he said, if there's any other way for you to fulfill your plan, please do it. But if not, I will do what you were asking me to do. We need Christians that are willing to step up today and be like Jesus and not be willing to quit. When God calls us to something, no matter how hard it gets, that's when you need to rely on him more. 5 months ago, I'll share this with you. 5 months ago, I was ready to quit. And thank God that I have a wife in my life that looked at me and set me straight. God worked through my wife to speak to me because I was at a point in my life where I needed to be spoken to. I needed to be ministered to. The last 5 months of my life has been difficult. But I thank God for all I've looked and all that I've seen that God has done. I praise God for it. And we, as his children, should praise God for what he's done. Our God is a redeeming God. Our God is an all-powerful God. Our God is an all-knowing God. And God knew well before I knew what was going to happen. God knew what was going to happen. And my hope, standing up here on this stage this morning, is God knows what's going to happen tomorrow. God knows what's going to happen next week. God knows what's going to happen a month from now. God knows what's going to happen a year from now. I don't need to know those things, because sometimes those things will drag me down. But what I do know, is that God loves me, and that God is going to hold my hand every day for the next month. Every day for the next year, God is going to hold my hand. Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me not where I stand. That's the God I serve. That's the God I serve. So are you one that's never started the calling that God's put on your heart? Have you started that calling but decided to quit because things got tough? Or are you going strong in your calling? Second important phrase I wanted to see you all to see in Jonah chapter 1, verse 3, was to Tarshish. To Tarshish spoke of the insanity of running away from God. Your Tarshish is the place in which you have traveled to in running away from God. It's what you've ran to instead of God. That is your Tarshish. What this morning? Is your Tarshish God? Or is your Tarshish something else? Jonah tried to run as far away as possible from God's calling in his life. He got on a boat. And maybe next week we'll talk about what happened after he got on that boat. It wasn't so good. The third phrase that I wanted you to see in Jonah chapter 1, verse 3 is from God. This phrase, from God, represents the impossibility of running away from God. You can't run away from God. No matter how far away you think you will run, God still sees you. You can run away, but you can't hide. Consider the following questions. Number one, what has God called you to do? What has God given you a passion about? Number three, what are you supposed to do with it? And number four, when should you do it? If you were neglecting God's calling in your life this morning, then you're running away from God. And today, I'm going to give you an opportunity to run back towards him. I'm going to give you the opportunity to come out of hiding, because you're not in hiding. God sees what you're doing. Question number six, are you disregarding God's correction in your life? Growing up in life, one of the things that I hated the most in my life was a leather belt by my dad. Anybody else hated the leather belt from your dad? Yeah, I had the leather belt. I had the hickory. Yeah, I got it a couple times in my life. Those are things you don't forget. Well, the same thing applies in our relationship with God. Just as children require correction going up to guide them onto a right path, we as God's children require correction to remain on God's plan. And God is a God of correction. He does correct you. He does put things in your life to get you back on course. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, it says, "For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his child." Thank God for his correction. In the midst of a God-sent storm, Jonah fell asleep. This sleep that Jonah fell into, it was a metaphor for spiritual indifference. There are many people today so asleep today that they are missing what God is trying to speak to them. Are you one of those children of God this morning, which you've grown indifferent to what God is desiring to do in your life? Have you went to sleep at the wheel? Have you given up on God for what you're going through in your life this morning? I'm here to tell you, there's a hope. God is a God of love. And God is a God that desires for you to be on His plan. He desires to use you. It doesn't matter the mistakes that you've made in your life this morning. God's not looking at those things. God's not looking at the fact that you used to be an alcoholic. He's not looking at the fact that you used to be a drug addict. He's not looking at the issues that you went through in your marriage or the issues that you were going through in your finances. He's not looking at any of those mistakes this morning, right now, at this moment in time. He's looking at your heart. I'm going to ask DJ and Sam to come up, and I'm going to ask them to lead us in a song of invitation this morning. Because I feel as though this morning that God is speaking to somebody in here this morning. God is speaking to somebody in this house this morning, looking at your heart and saying, you are a child of mine. I love you. Or maybe you're not a child of God, and maybe you want to take this opportunity this morning to accept God and develop that personal relationship that God's Word says is possible. But the only way it is made possible is through the blood of Christ. That's the only way to accept this free gift of salvation, is through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This gift cannot be earned. It can only be given through the blood of the Lamb. And it is available to anyone and to everyone this morning if you're willing to confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to confess your sins, to believe that He is your Lord and Savior. Maybe you are a child of God. Maybe you've drifted away. Maybe you've became disobedient. Maybe you have started neglecting what God wants to do in your life. Let's stop neglecting God this morning. Let's let God work through us. Let's let God do what He wants to do in our lives this morning. Let's stop wasting time and trying to deal with our trials and trying to deal with our tribulations. And let's get busy for God. Let's turn our burdens over to God this morning. Let's let God move. You all willing to allow God move this morning? Let's let Him move.
Steps, Lord. just is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of the Savior. Yes, my Savior, deliverer, hey, hey. Oh, Spirit, Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Yes, take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. My Savior, you can have. You can have it all, hey, hey. And I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace.
I believe, God, I'll see you through it.
is too hard for you. You are able. Oh, nothing's too hard for you, Jesus. 'Cause you are able.
Give him some glory. Let's end it on a good note. Battles.
Let me hear you sing that out one more time, that I've seen you move and you move those mountains.
Yeah. Let's give him some praise.
Amen.
Some praise.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Sing it like you mean it.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
You move the mountain, and I believe. place. We thank you, God, that you always do a new thing. You always do a new thing. God, and you always make, Father God, the less likely, the less qualified, the strong ones. God, you're raising up an army. God, and your army is right here. So God, help us to follow your spirit. Help us, God, to follow that call that you've placed upon our hearts and our lives, God. That we would be steadfast in you, God, and stand strong, Lord, with you, God. Because, Lord, you are our King. We are your sons. We are your daughters, God. And so, Lord, I speak strength over every person in this place. I speak, Father God, your anointing over every single person in this place, Lord God. Lord, have your way in us, God. That when you call us, Lord, we would not even hesitate, God, but be steadfast in you, Lord, and say, okay, God, where do we need to go, Lord? Where do we need to go next, Lord? God is God. Help us, Lord, to hear your voice and take heed, Father God, to your words, Lord. We praise you, Jesus, for the word that you brought forth, God, to us this morning. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here with us. How awesome you are, God. How good you are, Lord. So, Lord, I ask that you continue, Lord, to touch every family, God, every heart, Lord, in this place, every household, God, in this place, every family. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing, Lord, and we give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor, Lord, in your holy, holy name, Father God. Amen.
Amen.
Be blessed.